We are up to Simin Tov Mem Zayin, the halachas of Tarovis Chametz on Pesach. Now this calls for something of an introduction. We are now dealing with the halachas of Chametz that got mixed into food on Pesach itself. In Kol HaTorah Kula, the halacha is that when you have a Tarovis, a mixture of Isser and Heter. So the first rule is that Midaraisa, there is a halacha of bitul barov. When you really have two substances that mix and they appear as one, we say that the rov wins out over the miut. We call the entire mixture by the name of the rov. The source to this is the halacha of Achrei Rabim Lahatos in the Sanhedrin, whereby we say that if the majority of the Sanhedrin votes one way, they vote Chayiv or they vote Zakai, we say that the entire Sanhedrin is a Sanhedrin that was Mechayiv or Mezake. So here too we learn that whenever you have a mixture, you have a Tarovis of Isser Veheter, the halach is that there's Bitl Barov. However, the halach is that if you're dealing with Min B'She'eno Mino, if you are dealing with two substances that have different tastes, so we say that there's a new halacha of tam ki ikr, where we learn out that if there is something in, if there is something usur within it that is a miut, it's a minority of it. If it's tam, if its taste can be detected in the food, then it is too chashuv to be batal. It is not batal. Not only is it not batal, but then there's another halacha we learn out in tam ki ikr. But once it has tam iser, the entire tarovis of iser veheter now gets a shame iser. So the halacha being that if you have a substance of iser inside of a tarovis that gives tam to the entire mixture, the halacha is that the entire mixture becomes aser. Now this is in Kol HaTorah Kula, therefore we conclude that in Kol HaTorah Kula Min HaTorah, when you have a mixture of two substances whose tastes are identical, that is called Min B'mino, and the din is there is Bitl Barov. Whereas in Min B'She'eno Mino, when the substances have different tastes, then the halacha is that you need Bitl B'Shishim. What you need is that the Heter should be 60 times the Isser, so that you will no longer taste the Isser, so that the rule of Tam Ki Iker will not apply. Midrabanon, even in the case of min b'mino, you need 60, you need shishim. Kedei nesinas tam be'eno mino. Chazal made a gzera of mino to eno mino, and they said that in mino as well, whenever you have a tarovis of two substances, even though their tastes are identical, and there's no way of detecting the fact that there's some iser here, so even though you have a majority of heter, it is still usr unless you have 60 times as much heter as you do iser, so that had it been a substance with a different taste, you could not have detected it anyway. So in Kol HaTorah Kula, we now know the rule of bitl b'shishim. Whenever you have a tarovis of iser v'heter in a way that they're not detectable, in a way that you cannot discern between the two, which is one big substance, the halacha is that you need shishim if the two substances have different taste, then that shishim is midaraisa. If they're the same taste, then it is midarabanan. Now let's begin the machaber here with regard to Pesach. Chametz bePesach oser taruvaso bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino b'mashehu. Chametz on Pesach itself will make oser whatever it falls into. If you have chametz that mixes with non-chametz, whether it's mino or eino mino, whether the taste is identical or not identical, the halacha is it is b'mashehu. There is no such thing as bitl. The smallest amount of chametz that falls into a mixture on Pesach itself is not batal. The entire thing is aser. Afilu b'hanoah, not only for the Yisra achila, but also for the Yisra hanoah, and the Ramah adds to that, hagoah v'tzorich lisrof hakol. And you've got to burn the entire mixture. V'losagi b'pidyon d'mei hachametz v'limkar hashar. You couldn't even go ahead and sell the entire mixture to a non-Jew and make sure that you're just not charging him for the chametz in it. This way you're not being nana from the chametz, because we look at the entire mixture as being iser, as being chametz. Now, where does this halacha come from? Where do we get this chumra of chametz? So there's a machlokas rishonim, and we paskin like what seems to be rov rishonim, that the reason why chametz b'pesach is not batal, it's b'mashu, is because of the chumra of chametz. Since the halacha is that chametz, there's an iser of karis. If someone eats chametz on Pesach, it's bakaris. Came Chazal and said to make sure that a person will avoid eating chametz on Pesach, they gave it a chumrah that there is no Torah's bittul to chametz on Pesach. Regardless of the proportions, if chametz mixes with non-chametz on Pesach, the halacha is that the entire thing is aser. If it's the tiniest drop of chametz that mix into the largest amount of non-chametz, the halacha is that that the whole thing is aser. Now, the Rambam shita is that there's another reason why it's not batal. The Rambam shita is that chametz is called davar sheyesh lo matirin. Meaning, chametz is only also on Pesach, but after Pesach it becomes heter. The halacha is that something that will become heter later, you're not supposed to eat it in a matzah of iser, even though it's batal. So the Rambam sheet is that chametz for Pesach is called a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and therefore it's not batal. There are all sorts of nafka minas between the two sheetas. Among other things, the Rambam's halacha would apply even on Erev Pesach, meaning from as soon as chametz becomes also an Erev Pesach, even though there is no karis. Whereas, according to Rov Rishonim, who say that the reason is because of the chumrah of karis, since there is no karis on Erev Pesach till the night, even though the chametz is aser, there would be a Torah's bittel. So the Rambam shita is that the reason it's not batal is because it is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. We're later going to see that we happen to paskin bepashtus like Rov Rishonim, and on Erev Pesach there is Torah's bittel. There's another shita here. Tosfos brings the shita of the she'iltos. The she'iltos learns up the Gemara that there was no chiddush here whatsoever. The Gemara that says that chametz is b'mashu happens to be going according to the shitas that hold that there is no Torah's bittel to min b'mino and kol haTorah kula, which happens to be shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has a limud that when you have two substances that have an identical name, the halacha is, and just one of them happens to be usher and one of them happens to be mutter, the halacha is that the Torah never gave a halacha bittel to that whatsoever. So, Lamaisa, the Shultis's shita is that since we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Gemara telling us that chametz v'pesach is b'mashehu. We don't paskin like the Shultis. We're going to find that betzirof, all kinds of other things, there are times that we rely on it. But generally speaking, the actual halacha, the pashtis, is like the shita's atosvis, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, that it is because of chumrah the chametz, because chametz for Pesach is bekaris, Chazal took away the Torah's bittel for chametz on Pesach itself. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Ramah says that you can't go and sell the rest of it, meaning sell the tarovis for the price that it would have been worth without the chametz that's inside it. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that in mokum hefsid gadol, you're allowed to rely on that, meaning that you can sell the entire mixture quickly, because you have to get it out of your reshus. Remember, the Ramah said to burn it. You can sell it and make sure that you're not charging for the additional chametz that fell, but that's only when it's a great loss. Further, the Ramah says, Mihu kelim shenizbashel behem mutarim la'achra pesach vein sarach shvira o hagala. Kelim that were used for chametz, the halacha is that you're allowed to just put them away and use them after Pesach. And the fact that they have chametz on Pesach inside them doesn't aser them. Not only that, but if someone went ahead and used a keli on Pesach for chametz, right? What happened if someone by accident cooked chametz on Pesach? So of course he realizes he throws out the chametz. What's with the keli? The keli doesn't have to be broken. The keli can be left. What is balua in the keli, you're not over on bal yirah, bal yimatzah. You have to put it away, we'll learn later, in a way that you won't accidentally use it for Pesach food. Now, after Pesach, the halacha is that you're allowed to use it. Now, even though chametz shal avar alav ha-Pesach is aser, so the halacha is, within 24 hours, while it's a ben yomo, the halacha is that you could not use it for anything else. Afterwards, 24 hours later, we say that whatever taste was absorbed into in a keli is no longer a good taste. It is nosen tam lif gam and won't aser anything. Now, this is a general halacha The halacha is, I don't want to go too far and prevent people from asking shaylos. The halacha is if you accidentally use a treif pot or a milchik pot for fleishiks, a treif pot for kosher, if this pot was not used within 24 hours before you used it for something kosher or milchik or fleishik, if it wasn't used for 24 hours before, the halacha is we say that whatever was nivla in the pot, whatever was absorbed into the pot is no longer a good taste and will not have the ability to ruin the food that you cook in it afterwards. So someone accidentally uses a fleishik pot for cooking milchiks. If this fleishik pot was not used within 24 hours before it was used now for milchiks, the halacha is your milchiks is kosher. The pot is now has milk and meat inside it. But the milk that you went and cooked up in it would be kosher. Similarly, if someone accidentally used a treif pot, but it wasn't within 24 hours of its last use, and he went and cooked something kosher in it, the halacha is the food is kosher. Lichatchila, you're not allowed to use a treif pot, even though it's more than 24 hours later. Similarly, you're not allowed to use, even b'shas atchak, a fleishik pot for milchiks, if you know it hasn't been used for 24 hours, even though it won't ruin the food. Chazal asered using a treif pot that is an eino ben yomo as a gzera otu ben yomo. I mean, theoretically, just imagine this, midaraisa, a person can have one pot. On Monday he uses it for fleishiks, on Tuesday for milchiks, on Wednesday for fleishiks, on Thursday for milchiks, as long as they're 24 hours apart, so the taste inside the pot is nosen tam lefkam, and it won't aser anything. Came the Rabbanan and said, you know, that would be rather confusing. People won't remember if their pot is a ben yomo or an eina ben yomo. Therefore, they asered lichatchila to use an eina ben yomo pot that is treif for kosher, that is milchik for fleishik, that is fleishik for milchik. It does not ruin the food, remember? In order to ruin the food, it has to be a ben yomo. If it's an eina ben yomo, it will not ruin the food. Nevertheless, it is also to use lichatchila. Says the Mishnah Berurah Chiddush here. Chametz she'over alav ha-pesach, that is more than 24 hours after it was used for chametz. Let's say 2 days after Pesach, you now want to use this pot. Chazal never made a gzeir over here of otu ben yomo. Because you know it couldn't possibly be a ben yomo of chametz she'over alav ha-pesach if it's more than 24 hours after Pesach. So here Chazal never asked an eina ben yomo. Therefore, if chalila someone cooks chametz on Pesach in a pot, and now after Pesach he wants to use this pot for chametz, for regular food after Pesach, we do not say that this is osur midrabanan because you're using a pot that has blias of iser. The iser is nosen tam lifgam, and in this case there was no reason to make a gzera whereby you're going to be confused. So, once again, the halach is chametz on Pesach itself asers a taroves b'mashuhu. The kelim, though, are mutter after Pesach. Now the Mechaber goes on. V'din taruvaso k'din shar kol ha-taroves. The din of the mixtures of chametz and non-chametz are like all other ones. Ela shemasha oser b'shar taroves pachas mishishim oser b'chametz b'mashu. The only difference between chametz and everything else is that there's no din of bitl b'shishim, whereas all other halachas remain the same. Avlim b'shar tarovis lo hayatzarach shishim, ela klipa o netilis makom. Whereas in any case where in a tarovis of iser v'heter there would not have been a need for shishim, only taking out the outer layer, klipa means to peel, taking off the outer layer, or netilis makom, or taking a finger width off the food, af b'chametz kain. What is that? Shecham b'cham b'lo rotif. In a case where you have two hot things that touch, but there's no liquid there. Example, what you have is a piece of bread that just came out of the oven that touched a hot piece of matzah without any liquid whatsoever. Dai b'klipa, kishari surim, all it needs is klipa. Now, lemaisa, this is not the case. The halacha is not this way. The halacha is that when you have hot on top of cold, so there we say that if one of them is usr and one of them is mutter, since the bottom one was cold and the top one was hot, we say that tato gover, the one on the bottom determines whether this is going to be hot or cold. And therefore, since the bottom one is the cold one, we say that its ability to give off taste, whether it's the top or the bottom that's giving off the taste, since the bottom one is cold, that inhibits the ability of transfer of taste, and it limits it to a klipa. Which means, for example, if you have a hot, dry piece of meat on top of a hot, dry piece of cheese, on top of a cold, dry piece of cheese, the halacha is that we would say only the outer part, the very top layer of cheese and the very bottom layer of meat actually mixed, and everything else did not mix. So what you would have to do is actually shave off the top piece of cheese, cut off the bottom of the meat where they touched. Those two would be aser, and the rest would be mutter. This is cham al gabei tzonin needs klipa. Whereas if the bottom one is hot, whether the top is cold or hot, but if the bottom one is hot, there we say that it actually travels, it actually penetrates into the milk or the meat, the width of a finger, ke'etzpa, that's what we call netilas makom. So, once again, if it's cham al gabei tzonin, the halacha is you need klipa. If it is tzonin al gabei cham, or cham al gabei cham, you need netila. Now, this is all different than the halacha of lach balach, of where you have a liquid there. Meaning, if you have something that is wet, there we call it a tavshil, there we're dealing with cooking, and the halacha is that you will need shishim. That's where in Kol HaTorah Kulo you'll need shishim. Consequently, in Pesach, where there is no bittel, shishim would not be enough, and even a mashu would aser. Not so when you're dealing with, say, cham al gabei tzonin, where all it asers is a klipa. There we would say on Pesach also all you need is a klipa, because the bottom of it never got any chametz. So let's say you had a hot piece of chametz on top of a thick piece of matzah, and everything is totally dry, and it was hot on top of cold. It is only the top, the very top layer that would actually become chametz thick. The rest of it, we would say, did not absorb a mashuhu even, and therefore would be mutter. So the only time that we're saying that chametz for Pesach is b'mashu is where there was actually a tarovis, a complete fusion of the two, and that is in the case where there's a liquid, like a tafshil. Whereas if you're dealing with two dry objects, if the bottom one was cold, it will not go further than a klipa. If the top one, if the bottom one was hot, then it will go as far as the width of an etzpa. So once again, let's see the mechaber inside. Avol im b'shar tarovus lo hayatzar shishim el a klipa o netilas makom, where we say that a klipa is enough or netilas makom is enough, because that limits the amount that the iser traveled. That will also limit the amount that the chametz traveled. Af b'chametz came. Shecham b'cham b'lo rotiv dai b'klipa b'shar isurim. So once again, the mefarshim say this doesn't mean cham b'cham is enough with klipa. It's cham al gabei tzonin that needs klipa, whereas cham b'cham needs netilas makom. V'chein, im noga kikar chometz. Now this v'chein is not v'chein, the Mishnah Berurah changes it to ulochein, and therefore, im noga kikar chometz b'kikar matzah u'shneim chamin, if you have a loaf of chometz that touches a loaf of matzah, the Ashkenazi matzah that we know of is very thin, but remember, mi'ikar adin matzah, as long as it wasn't allowed to rise and contains no yeast, if it was made very quickly, can actually be thick. Our minig is to make extremely thin ones. You're allowed to have a matzah up until a tefach. So what's the halacha? Ushneim chamin, they're both hot. Ve'ein sham dover hamafapa on, and there is nothing to go and spread the iser, meaning not only is there nothing wet, but there's also nothing fatty that will be able to spread the iser. Lo oser ella moko mago bilvad. It will only answer the place that it touched, meaning a finger width, a ke'etzpa. Lefi she'eino mavliya yoser, because it cannot allow any more to be absorbed. Now the halacha is in Kol HaTorah Kulo, whenever you have a case of the two things that touch, and say they're both hot, and you need an etilas makom, for example, you need an etilas makom. The halacha is that if one of them is fatty, then we say that what happens is that takes it further. And once again, you're going to need bitul b'shishim in the entire piece, because something fatty will go and transfer the taste. In fact, the halacha is that when two things touch, and they're both hot, and one's usr and one's mutter, so you have to take away a finger width of where they touched. Plus, you will need shishim in the entire heter against the iser. Now, in the case of chametz, we said that wherever you're going to need shishim, shishim isn't going to help you. So if this was something fatty, the halacha would be that everything would aser. If you have a small piece of chametz that touched a big piece of matzah and they're very of something kosher l'Pesach, they're both hot, and one of them is fatty, the halacha is that we would say that the taste travels. You will need shishim in the entire thing, in the entire matzah thing, the entire heter thing against the chametz. And on Pesach, shishim isn't enough. So the halacha would be that it would aser the whole thing. Now, in Kol HaTorah Kula, the Ramah is machmir to say that we are mistopic, that everything is shamein. We are not bekiyim in what is kochush and what is shamein. We are always afraid that something may really be fatty, even though we don't think it is. In the case of chametz here, where you had chametz and matzah touching, the Ramah did not give us his famous einam bekiyim b'shamein that he did in Yaradeya. So the poskim are mistopic why that happened. The maskon of the Mishnah Berurah seems to be that the Ramah holds that since chametz by nature is never fatty, meaning what makes chametz is grain, therefore there's no reason why we have to be mistopic that maybe it's fatty. You're dealing with a piece of bread. We're not dealing with anything that there's any reason to begin thinking that perhaps there's something fatty here. Therefore, the Ramah over here did not worry about our not being bucky in what is shamein and what isn't. Whereas if there really would be a shamein, there would be shamnunis, then the halacha would be that it would answer the whole thing. So let us say, for example, you have an oily piece of chametz, an oily piece of chametz bread that touched a matzah. The halacha is it would answer that entire matzah. There would answer the entire one. Not only that, but if that matzah now touches other matzahs, it was touching other matzahs, the halacha would be that you would have to cut off the top piece. So this was the first part of the first sif of Taf Mem Zayin. We covered quite a bit. Let's go over the basic yesodas. Number one, that in Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever you have a tarovis, if they have identical tastes, midoraisa, there's bitl barov. Whereas midrabanon, we will deal with it as if they had different tastes. When they have different tastes, midaraisa, there's a halach of tam ki ikr, you will need bitl b'shishim to nullify the taste of the yisr, because if you could taste the yisr, the halach is that the yisr isn't batl, and then it transforms the whole thing into yisr. Chametz on Pesach itself is not batl. If chametz falls into something on Pesach in a way that we now have a mixture, even though it's totally non-discernible, the halacha is the entire mixture is chametz stick. Where do we say that halacha? That is only with regard to where you need bitl b'shishim. But in a case where two things touch, and it is not a tafshil, you're not dealing with liquids, and you're also not dealing with anything fatty or greasy. What you're dealing with is two dry substances. The upper one is hot, the bottom one is cold. The halacha is all that could penetrate would be just the top layer of it. We would say the same thing if the top is chametz and the bottom is matzah and it's cold. All we would do is have to scrape off the very top layer of it. We would not say that it goes any further because it's only where you need shishim that we say there's no bitl b'shishim on Pesach. But where we know that Isser doesn't travel at all, so on Pesach it doesn't travel either. The same thing going where the bottom one is hot, so you need to take off a finger with. The same would go for Pesach. Pass the finger with, you would not pass, the ke'etzba would not have to be removed. There's no need for shishim. If there's any chash, that there's anything fatty there we would say that the whole thing becomes asur on Pesach. Now this is all with regard to the food itself, with regard to kelim, a keli of isur, the halacha is an eino ben yomo doesn't asur. Just you're not allowed to use an eino ben yomo as a gzera. In the case of chametz she'over alav ha-Pesach, to use that after Pesach, since there's no way that one will get confused of it being a ben yomo because it's after Pesach, the halachi is that an eina ben yomo will be mutter to use the chatchila. You don't have to kasher a pot for chametz that was a Pesach pot that was accidentally used for chametz on Pesach. If you want to reuse it next year for Pesach, then of course you will have to kasher it first.